So with the rising importance of trade compliance programs, it's important to start with the law, as I'm speaking like a true lawyer. The U.S. relies, and I've mentioned it already, Section 301 and Section 232 tariffs. And relying on these provisions, the U.S. government can impose additional duties on imported goods under these authorities. The key difference between the two is the specific legal authority and the different policy objectives.
Global companies face unprecedented risks and challenges in today's economy. To mitigate these legal and economic risks, companies are rapidly embracing and elevating the importance of robust ethics and compliance programs to promote positive corporate citizenship. On Corruption, Crime, and Compliance, you'll hear from industry leaders and insiders about how to create effective ethics and compliance programs that will mitigate risks and maximize financial performance. Here's your host, Michael Volkoff.
Welcome. This is Michael Volkoff, and you're here for another episode of Corruption, Crime, and Compliance. Today, we're going to talk about tariffs, crimes, sanctions. You got it. Hope everybody's doing well. I wanted to start first with talking about this new tariff and trade enforcement environment. And this is DOJ's priority number one. And no question, but starting with Customs and Border Patrol, we can expect that regulatory investigations and enforcement actions are going to increase. Why? Because number one, we've got tariffs in place and people always try to evade tariffs. Some will push the envelope, some will keep the envelope intact, but you can rest assured that there are going to be some criminals who are going to try to evade tariffs because of the financial incentive to do so. And companies have an incentive to circumvent and evade tariffs. And depending upon the amount of the cost, companies can gain significant competitive advantages by avoiding tariff payments. This is an inevitable result that companies have to protect against. Now, CPB agents working with Homeland Security investigators are going to quickly identify and refer potential criminal cases for investigation. And the FBI may join in these investigations, but most will be done by Homeland Security investigators. So with the expansion of tariffs under sections 301 and 232, and I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, companies have to be alert to the common tariff evasion schemes, including undervaluation of goods, misclassification of imports under HTS codes, transshipment through third countries to disguise origin, false certification of origin, and division of shipments to avoid thresholds. If your company is importing Chinese goods, Section 301 tariff evasion is high-risk activity. Further, forced labor enforcement under the Forced Labor Prevention Act applies to high-risk industries in China, including solar panels, textiles, electronics, furniture. With respect to Section 232 tariffs, companies which import aluminum and steel face significant risks of evasion schemes. Now, DOJ has its usual variety of tools that are available for criminal enforcement: customs fraud, conspiracy under Section 371, 18 U.S.C. 371, wire fraud and smuggling statutes, 18 U.S.C. 371, 545 customs, and 1341, which is wire fraud. So let me give you a few examples of recent criminal and civil prosecutions for tariff evasion going back to 2024. The Florida plywood tariff case, a Florida couple was sentenced to 57 months in jail for evading $42 million in customs duties. The couple falsely declared that Chinese plywood originated from Malaysia or Sri Lanka to avoid, in this case, it was avoiding anti-dumping duties, which have been added to the criminal statute and the regulatory statute to the ability to be charged with evasion for any dumping duties that are imposed as a result of a proceeding. The couple repackaged and relabeled the products. Now, a second case in 2024, Akua Mosaics and its president pleaded guilty to conspiracy to smuggle goods into the U.S. by, again, falsely declaring Chinese manufactured tiles as originating from Malaysia. The false representation aim to circumvent substantial anti-dumping duties, and the defendant, the CEO, was sentenced to 2 years of probation, but ordered to pay over $1 million in restitution. Miami businessman was charged with transshipment of tires in 2024. Miami businessman was charged with smuggling for evading tariffs on Chinese truck tires. The businessman routed the tires through countries like Canada and Malaysia, misrepresenting their origin to U.S. authorities. And in addition, we have Evolutions Flooring, which pays $8.1 million in 2025 for submitting false declarations stating that Chinese-manufactured multi-layered wood flooring originated from Malaysia. And this allowed the company to evade significant anti-dumping and countervailing duties. So DOJ is building now coordinated teams among CPB, HSI, and FBI agents to target tariff and trade enforcement. To help identify circumvention schemes, investigators are employing data analytics, AI tools to identify anomalies or unusual patterns of imports. And they're focused on cases involving significant revenue loss, repeat offenders, specific imports of plywood, for example, repeat offenders, and companies tied to national security or forced labor violations. So with the rising importance of trade compliance programs, it's important to start with the law, as I'm speaking like a true lawyer. The U.S. relies, and I've mentioned it already, Section 301 and Section 232 tariffs. And relying on these provisions, the U.S. government can impose additional duties on imported goods under these authorities. The key difference between the two is the specific legal authority and the different policy objectives. So let's go first and talk about Section 301 tariffs. That refers to Section 301 of the Trade Act of 1974, 19 U.S.C. 2411. The primary purposes of Section 301 is to counter unfair trade practices by foreign governments involving intellectual property, theft, forced technology transfer, market access barriers, and discriminatory licensing practices. Historically, the U.S. trade representative has imposed tariffs on hundreds of billions of dollars worth of Chinese imports after a Section 301 investigation confirmed Chinese unfair trade practices. Tariffs were imposed through a series of lists covering industrial machinery, semiconductors, and aerospace components. That was list one. Chemicals, plastics, and railway equipment, list two. Furniture, electronics, and auto parts, list three. And clothing and footwear, list 4A. What we're going to see with the Trump administration is this tool is being used to increase tariffs across the board. I think it's going to focus more on national security interests as well. And the Trump administration is clearly going to eliminate or restrict the use of exclusions, which are sometimes included for hardship cases under tariff regimes. Now, Section 232 tariffs refers to Section 232 of the Trade Expansion Act of 1962, 19 U.S.C. Section 1862. The primary purpose of Section 232 tariffs is to protect national security by addressing the damage to domestic industries involving the industrial base and defense readiness. And historically, the U.S. Commerce Department has relied on Section 232 to impose tariffs on steel and aluminum imports because they threaten U.S. national security. Further, Section 232 tariffs have been used to establish country-specific deals and quotas, as well as tariffs on automobiles and car parts. Initially, a 25% tariff was imposed on steel imports and a 10% tariff was imposed on aluminum. In 2025, the Trump administration increased these to 50% for both steel and aluminum imports. The steel import tariffs covered flat-rolled products, bars, rods, angles, shapes, and sections. The aluminum import tariffs covered unwrought aluminum, aluminum bars, rods, and profiles. In early 2025, the Trump administration raised tariffs across the board in Chinese imports, citing intellectual property theft and forced technology transfers. In May 2025, the U.S. and China agreed to the 90-day pause and reduction in certain tariffs by 115%, while maintaining a baseline 10% tariff. With respect to the Section 232 tariffs on steel and aluminum, the tariffs were reimposed and increased to 25%. So effective April 3rd, 2025, a 25% tariff has been applied across the board on imported automobiles and auto parts. And the Trump administration has now initiated new Section 232 investigations of imports of semiconductors, copper, timber, and pharmaceuticals. And pharmaceuticals is going to be a huge one. And recently, on May 28th, 2025, the U.S. Court of International Trade ruled that the IEEPA-based reciprocal tariffs exceeded the president's authority, but that ruling was stayed pending further appeals, and that's still going on the appellate process. And the reciprocal tariffs have now been reinstated. So that's where we are, and it's an interesting environment. This is an environment where we have to adjust our risk priorities to look at trade and look at tariff compliance. These are big issues and one that is going to be aggressively prosecuted and subject to heightened scrutiny. All right, folks, that's it for this week. We'll see you next week with another episode of Corruption, Crime, and Compliance.
If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to support the show is by subscribing on your favorite listening platform. To learn more and connect with Michael Volkov, go to volkovlaw.com.